All right, good afternoon. This is not an evening service. This is our 1:49 service, all right? We don't have that often. 1:49, that's a little odd, but that's the time it is. I think we got finished downstairs. I think most of our group is coming up. Thank you very much for all the men and women that were downstairs helping clean. Everybody pitched in, had a lot of boys and girls helping with the chairs. That is good to see. Moms and dads, you can build on that at home, possibly, all right? I know sometimes that doesn't always translate to home jobs, but appreciate everybody jumping in, pitching in, tearing down. Thank you for all the delicious food and meals. It was a good spread there, lots left over, so thank you for everybody that helped. I trust this week has been a blessing to you. We're now here to our final service. I know sometimes that afternoon service, you sit back in those pews a little bit and food settles down a little bit and you're used to maybe a little relaxed afternoon. So that's why we put the young missionary at 2 o'clock. All right, we gave him, I know they were saying he got the longer Sunday school, but there's a double edge there. He's got the 2 o'clock, all right? He's gonna see people getting a little drowsy. You see the fans may go on super speed, all right? Ushers may be hitting the AC. So no, I'm just kidding. It's a good, thank you for staying here. I know that it's been a busy week and good to see your children out here as well. And we trust that you can get a little bit of maybe rest this afternoon and this evening. Again, no evening service. Well, it's been a great week. We still have a few things left to go. As you look at the schedule there, just one hymn after prayer, and then Dr. Brent Smith with IPM, he'll come up and let you know a little bit about his ministry, what him and his wife do, and where God's called them. I'll come up with just a few closing announcements. We'll have our teens with the special music, and then after that, we'll have Stephen Barrett come up for our closing message. So I'm going to invite you to stand for prayer, and as you stand, I'm going to ask Brother Jim Fry. And it's been a treat to have the Fries. As many of you know, they play a big part in my life. Our families go way, way back, and they were influential in me being a young man in youth group and camp and serving the Lord, and I'm thrilled to be able to have them here, and I hope they were a blessing to you. So, Brother Fry, you start us off, and after that, stay standing for him.
Before I pray, can I just say another thank you for the church here for being a blessing to us, particularly this week, but a blessing to us in the past. It's a blessing to have you supporting the camp, and not just supporting financially, but supporting by your prayer support. We do not take that lightly, and I'd like to say thank you. Father God, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for their testimony in this community and around the world. Father, I thank you for their support of missionaries and their concern about reaching the lost. Father, I ask that this service would bring glory to you. And Father, I ask as this missions conference comes to an end, that you would put a kick in our step, a skip that helps us to have a renewed desire to be faithful to what you have called us to do. Thank you for this time together in Jesus' precious name, amen.
534, send the light, send the light. 534, sing all three verses.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls who rescue, there are souls who save. Send the light, send the light.
Try something on that second verse. And it was down there. You have send the light. Send the light. How about this? The first send the light, I want this half of the room to sing it or even shout it if you want. All right? And then the second send the light, I want you guys to sing it and shout it. Does that make sense? Can we do that? All right, second verse.
We have heard the Macedonian call to. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine.
shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near.
Good afternoon. It's good to see everybody here after that lunch. That was absolutely delicious. I'm very grateful for all of you who brought something. I mean, most of you brought something. There was a lot of food there. And if you're hungry, that is your fault, because there was a lot of food. I'm very grateful for that. Thank you all for this conference, for everything that was done, for all the kind words. Brother Smith mentioned just you all going out there and speaking with us and just being involved. And I appreciate that very much. You know, in Brazil, we say that, especially after a meal like this, whoever preaches, they see the people fishing. And it's when you go like, so we call that fishing. So let's see how many of you end up fishing today in church. Oh, but that was good. And thank you for all the special music that teenage right now, I know you don't do this to impress, but I've been impressed with all the special music, the teenagers, the pianist special. I think it was Aleel. Is that how you pronounce it? That was beautiful. That was a concert pianist right here in your church. That was lovely, and thank you for that. The women singing, the choir, it's just been a blessing. And I want to let you all know how blessed I've been to be here, how blessed I've been to be a part of this conference and to meet you all and see a church that's serving the Lord and giving their all for the Lord. And it means a lot to me, and I thank you for that. Before we start with the Word of God, I just want to share a story with you. It's a real story that happened in Brazil back in the 1940s, maybe, late 30s, early 40s, about an American missionary. He went to Brazil. I can only imagine his story, what happened. He left all his comforts here in America. He left his family. He left his language.
He left everything that he had here, his career. You can imagine how much he left to go to Brazil. Really, many parts of Brazil are still very third world, but you can imagine back in the early 40s, there was nothing there. But this man went, he left everything, and he obeyed God's call, and he went to Brazil as a missionary. There, after many years of service, he decided he was going to work on a project, a Bible project. So he raised money, he gathered many Bibles, and he finally had enough to distribute to a little town called Camanducaia in the state of Minas Gerais, which is the next state north from where I live. And this man, he put all these Bibles in a buggy, and he took his horse, and he rode around town that afternoon, and he went to each and every house in that little mountain town. I can imagine he would knock on the doors, and someone would come out, and him and his broken Portuguese, if he was still learning, and a lot of this, I imagine how it was, he would give them the word of God and let them know that this is the word of God, and here you can read this and understand how you can be saved and how you can get to heaven. And he did that the whole afternoon that day in many houses, and he reached every house of that little town. In the end of this afternoon, the Catholic priest of that town heard about what this missionary did. Now, Catholicism still dominates in the sense that Brazil is still the largest Catholic country in the world. All of our ideologies and cultures involve, has Catholicism all over it. But praise the Lord, the persecution is not as bad as it used to be. But even back in the 60s and 70s when my grandparents went, the persecution was really bad. But when this Catholic priest heard about what had happened that day, he wasn't having any of it. So he went to every one of that house, and he personally took back the Bible that was given to those homes. Catholicism, it has that you're not supposed to read the Bible. You only read it in church and in the Latin language, so people don't understand what's going on at all. And that's very much how it used to be, and it is still how it is. So this Catholic priest went to every house and confiscated the Bible that that man had gathered and given to those families. In one of the homes, the Catholic priest knocked, and a little girl opened and answered the door. And the Catholic priest asked for the Bible, and she said she didn't have a Bible there. They knew they weren't supposed to own a Bible, so she didn't know what he was talking about. So this priest, he looks around the house, really can't find the Bible, and he's satisfied, and he leaves that house alone. So he goes to the next homes, and he just continues doing his job, and he confiscates all those Bibles that were given out that day, except for that one house. Later that evening, the man of the house came home, and he was the one who received the Bible, and he hid the Bible. He knew he wasn't supposed to have it, but he hid it under a bed of hay up in his loft, and that's where he kept it, and the priest never looked there, and the Bible was hidden. Through that Bible, this man came to understand his need for personal salvation, and that he needed Christ as his own Savior, and he was saved. And he was able to lead his wife to the Lord, and he was able to lead his family to the Lord. It's a beautiful story, and really it's a real story, and we don't know who that missionary was. His name was lost in time. This story was passed down through generations. But the man who received and hid that Bible, his name was Antonio Pereira Dias, and he was my great-grandfather on my mother's side. So that's a real story that happened in my life and in my family so many years ago. And I just think, because of that one man who accepted God's call and who obeyed God's calling to go to Brazil, generations of my family are on their way to heaven or are in heaven now today. Romans 10, verses 14 through 17, it's a passage that God used in my heart and my life when he called me to missions. It's a passage that we all know well. Chapter 10, Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. I'm going to ask for you to stand if you're able. First of all, it'll wake us up a little bit. And we'll stand together for the reading of God's word. Romans 10, 14 through 17 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this missions conference, Lord. Thank you for this church and for the blessing they've been to me. Help me now, Lord, to say that which you want me to say. Use me today and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you once again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as I was saying, my mother is a third generation Christian in Brazil, which is a very rare thing. You are able to find first and second generations, and those are huge blessings too. But third generations, because of Catholicism and the control that they had in the Brazilian people, that's a rare thing. And imagine if that man had not obeyed God's call and stayed in the comforts, all that I talked about, stayed in America and didn't do what God asked him to do. It is very possible that my great-grandparents today would not be in heaven. My grandparents, after that, they're both saved. My Brazilian grandfather has already passed away, but he was a strong Christian. My grandmother now is a Christian, and all of her children, and then my mom and all of her children, my siblings, we are all Christians too. And that is such a blessing to think of that one man who obeyed God's calling. And it is a powerful and important thought for each one of us to have today, that if we don't obey God's call in each and every one of our lives, we could be the cause for someone, some soul, being separated from all eternity, being separated from God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. When was the last time that we had this attitude of woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel? When is the last time that you felt this strongly about preaching the gospel? And I'm talking to each one of us, including myself. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. We should apply this to each and every one of our lives. God wants to use each one of you, whoever you are. You know, many times people give excuses, and we've talked about excuses today, and excuses of why I am not fit for the job. Maybe you didn't go to Bible school, or you didn't go to college, or you never studied in the Bible Institute, or whatever. You can give excuses, but God can use you if you only allow him. We see Andrew, Peter, James, and John, who were simple fishermen. It was probably very hard work, rough work, and they probably didn't have to go to school for that. And the Bible does say about them, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, I believe that many of us could fall into that category of unlearned and ignorant. The verse continues here, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. God was able to use these rough fishermen for his purposes because they allowed him to use his life, their lives. Matthew was a tax collector. Tax collectors were very much hated people. They were despised because of their profession. Even nowadays, I don't think people like tax collectors, but he was very hated, and God was able to use him for mighty purposes and doing great things for his purposes. Simon, who was a zealot, was able to be transformed and used by the Lord. We know the Apostle Paul, who before becoming a Christian, he was a persecutor of Christians. And we see how he used to help in killing Christians and all that. And when he was saved, God was able to use him. All these men, they probably had great excuses as to why they weren't the best fit for God and for to be used for his purposes. But God was able to use each and every one of them. And God is able to use each and every one of you here today if you so allow him to. Many people talk about age. I was talking just a little bit about my Brazilian grandmother. She is 86 years old now, and she's not doing very well health-wise. She is very weak, and she was discouraged. She can't go to church anymore. She can't leave the house. She's just having a hard time. And my dad was able to sit with her about a few months ago, and he told her how important a job she still has in all of this. Just by praying for missionaries, by praying for her family who are serving the Lord, she can make a difference and she can be greatly used of the Lord at her old, frail age. Children, there's no excuse for children not to serve the Lord either. I loved seeing the children taking out the chairs downstairs. That was a blessing to me. Young little kids just doing what they could. I went to a church about a month ago, and I don't even remember where I was. I think I was in Georgia. We go to a lot of places. But I taught a boys' class, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds. There were about 7 boys there. And in the end, they had raised, for that month, they had raised a little offering for me. And it was $7.50. That's not much, but it was a lot. And it encouraged me greatly that those boys, and all of them were bus kids too, and they did what they could. You know, and I used that money to buy myself a cup of coffee, and it was really good. So I remembered them when I was drinking that coffee. But they were used of God at that young age and whatever they could do. And to human eyes, yes, it probably wasn't a lot, but to God, that was a lot. And if you allow God to use you, He wants to use you, whoever you are. But also God wants to use you wherever you are. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." I'm so blessed to be a part of a missionary family, a family who left America and went to Brazil to serve the Lord. My grandparents, I told you a little bit about them this morning and how they left everything. They left family. My great-grandmother, who I think I met when I was 1, but she passed away. I'm sorry, that's another one. But this great-grandmother, she lived with my grandparents before they came to Brazil. And the day they left to Brazil, she went with them to the airport. And she watched the plane leave that they were in. And until the plane disappeared, and then she said, "I'm ready to go home." And they had to leave that. She had 2 little grandchildren, my dad and my aunt, who went to Brazil, and they left a lot. They gave up a lot to go. They had to learn a language. They both were in very good jobs and had good careers here in America. They left all their comforts to go to the uttermost part of the earth and preach the gospel. And God has greatly used them, and I'm just so blessed to see the fruit that has come from that. And we're able to just, even the pictures that you all saw today, what came from that ministry. And it's a blessing to see people who obeyed God and went to the uttermost part of the earth, somewhere where not a lot of people go and somewhere where they desperately need the gospel. But unlike my great-grandparents, my great-grandfather, whose story I told you about in the beginning, the one who received the Bible, he never left his hometown. He stayed in that little city of Camunducaia, and he never left. He never became a missionary. He was never a pastor. He wasn't even a preacher. But that doesn't mean that he didn't serve the Lord with all of his life. Every Saturday of his life, he loved going to the train station. And he would spend literally hours there giving out gospel tracts and witnessing to people. And they're coming and going in the trains, and there's a lot of people all over the place. And that's where he chose to go and spend every Saturday of his life. And he loved it. And many people came to him afterwards. And through his ministry, they were saved. One time he was sitting in a square, town square, and on a bench. And this woman sat next to him. And she said, "You're that man who gives out gospel tracts in the bus station, train station, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "I just want you to know that you gave me a gospel tract one day. And when I got in that bus, I read the gospel and I accepted Christ as my Savior. So thank you." And I can only imagine how many more stories like that exist because of my great-grandfather's willingness to serve the Lord wherever it was that God had him. When he was his last day on earth, he went to the train station and he spent the whole morning up into the afternoon giving out gospel tracts and witnessing. And that afternoon he went to choir practice. And then in that evening he had a heart attack and went to be with the Lord. So he used his life and he gave his life completely to serve the Lord. Now as my grandparents went to a different place, my great-grandfather never left his hometown. And what I want you all to realize today is that God wants to use you wherever it is that you are. Some of us, like myself, I will be going to Brazil. And I'm very excited about that. I can't wait to get there. I love the country. I love the people there. I love the food, the culture, everything about that. And I'm excited to go. But when I go to Brazil, my light here in this country will turn off. I won't be able to serve the Lord here in America, another country that I dearly love. But you all who are staying here, this is where God wants you. And this is where you have to serve the Lord. Right here in Duryea, Pennsylvania, and surrounding regions. I drove up to Pocono with Brother Mike, and I saw dozens of little towns. And all these towns, there are people who probably have never heard the gospel. And people who, maybe you're the last person who could ever reach them with the gospel. So we should serve the Lord, whoever we are. And we should serve the Lord wherever we are. Also, we should preach the gospel to whoever will hear. The Great Commission is given for us, each and every one of us Christians, and to each and every creature. The Bible says, Paul says in the Bible, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Having grown up as a missionary kid and involved in ministry, and I'm sure you've all had these experiences too, but I've seen firsthand how the Word of God transforms people. It's been amazing, story after story, and because of time, I won't be able to share all of them with you, but I could, about lives that have been completely transformed for the Lord because of the gospel. One of the men that I'm thinking of, it's a man and his wife. Before they were saved, they were Brazilian hippies. That's what they called themselves. I didn't think you knew we had hippies in Brazil too. And they were atheists. And they hated God. So atheists who hated God, if you think about that, it makes no sense at all. But that's what they were. And they got married with plans to separate in 1 year because she wanted to escape her family situation. It really was a bad situation. But someone, friends of theirs, shared the gospel with them, and that really moved them and messed with their hearts. And after a little while, they accepted Christ as their Savior, and then they came to our church in Jundiaí for a Christmas cantata where they heard the gospel again, and then they surrendered their lives to the Lord. And today, that family that started broken and started with full of problems, they are sent out of our church as church planting missionaries in Brazil. And they have three beautiful children and they are serving the Lord with all their lives. And it's just amazing to see the transformation that the gospel did in their lives. Another man, it's a man, his name is Irnar. And he passed away last year, but he was a big man, taller than me and strong. He looked like a big bear and he was a scary man if you didn't know him. And before he was saved, he was a very violent man. He was involved in a lot of bad things. He was a drug addict and alcohol, and he lived more in the streets than in his home. He mistreated his wife and all his little children. It really was a bad situation. But my grandfather, this was in the beginning of when he went to the city of Jundiaí years ago. He was soul winning and knocking on, well, we don't knock on doors, we actually clap at gates. You cannot get to doors in Brazil, so, and a lot of homes don't have doorbells, so we clap, and that's how we get people's attention. And it works. You can hear that they're clapping at your house. It's very interesting. But that's what he was doing that day. And he met this man out in the street, and he was not in a good state of mind, but my grandfather introduced himself, and they started talking. And my grandfather learned a little bit more about his story, and he purposed in his heart to go every Saturday to visit that man's house. And it really was a dangerous part of town, a part where all the drug lords are and all that. So people were telling my grandfather, he was better not go there. It's a dangerous place. But my granddad didn't see the dangers. He didn't care about that really, but he saw a soul who needed the Savior. So he went to this man here in our house every Saturday. And this man didn't really care to talk to him, but he was curious about this American. It was very different for him. My grandfather, his accent was very strong in the beginning. So, and this man came from the north, so they couldn't really understand each other. But there was a lot of love between them, but they couldn't really understand each other. It was very interesting. But he kept taking the gospel to him. One day this man couldn't take it anymore, and he accepted Christ as his Savior, and his life was completely transformed. He made things right with his wife. He made things right with his children. He made things right with people all around him. And all of their children and wife, his wife, they were saved. And one of his sons today is a pastor in Brazil right now. Another story is a man named Rogério, and he said he was never going to step foot in a church. He didn't like church. He didn't like anything to do with religion. He was not having any of it. But one day his sister, who was coming to church faithfully, and she was a Christian, she invited him. And I really don't know what caused him to come. I believe it was food or something that attracted him that day. But he went to church, and he sat in the very last pew and heard and was very bitter about the gospel and didn't want to hear it. But he was there in church. During the invitation hour, he said that he physically had to hold on to the pew because he felt called to the altar. And he's like, I can't go up there. So he held on to that pew and did not go up. But the very next Sunday, he doesn't know what brought him back. And we know it was God's conviction, right? But he went back to the church and he sat in the last pew and held on to that pew during the invitation hour. He physically had to hold on, or else he was going to walk up to the altar to accept Christ as his Savior. But he held on that second week. And then for the third week, he was back in church. And that third week, he let go and he walked down the altar. And my dad was able to lead him to the Lord. And today he's the head usher of the church there. And he's married and have two beautiful children. And they're all serving the Lord together in Brazil. And I could tell you story after story after story of lives being transformed from the gospel. There is no wrong person that you can preach the gospel to. There are people all around us who need to hear from you how they can be saved. You may be the last person who will ever have an opportunity to talk to them about Christ. And we should not waste time. Many of us, you know, talking about excuses, we give excuse, even like, well, we'll do it later, but right now is not the best time, or whatever excuse you may give. You know, we talked a lot about COVID these days and how that affected so many things. And I'm not even talking about death, but in situations like that where we would go to work and school and see people and friends every single day, suddenly in one day, we were separated from these people. And we probably, there were many of them who we will never see again because of what happened. And things like that will happen in our lives. And because we wasted so much time when we had the opportunities, we may have lost all the chances that we had to preach the gospel to these people. We all know the story of Philip and the Ethiopian man. And I love that story of how he went out to the desert and saw the Ethiopian man reading from Isaiah. And the Bible says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to that chariot. And Philip ran thither to him." I think that's a beautiful passage, and it shows how we should act with lost souls around us. Philip didn't walk. He didn't give excuses. He didn't say, well, maybe it's not the best time. He looks busy. He ran thither to him. And he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he explained the gospel, and that man was saved. And we know the rest of the story, how right there in that moment he was baptized. And what a beautiful story of a man who obeyed God wherever it was that God wanted him. That's where he went. And that's how we should be as well. And this brings us back to Romans 10. How shall they hear without a preacher? You know, many times we think of preachers as people who stand behind pulpits. And yes, we are preaching from the pulpit. And this is where men preach. But all you women and all you children and all of us, we should be preachers out there. We should preach the gospel to every creature. Like Philip did with the Ethiopian man. Like my grandparents did with all those Brazilians for many years. Like my great-grandfather did for many years preaching the gospel. Let's each and every one of us rededicate our lives to sharing the gospel with all those around us who are lost and really on their way to hell for all eternity. Let's rededicate our lives to spreading the gospel to every creature, be it in our Judea and our Samaria and these cities, little towns around us, or be it around the world like we saw in India and Africa and in Brazil and wherever it is that God has you to go. And if God has called you to go somewhere, trust me, it's the best thing you could do is to obey him and go wherever he wants you to go. Now, if he has not called you to go, he still has called you to preach the gospel. And if that is in Brazil, where I'm going, or right here, do your best to preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is simple, but it's still powerful, and it still works, and it still saves, and it will always be enough. And we must preach the gospel. God chose to use us to preach the gospel. We have to do our part in order for others to be saved, in order for the Great Commission to be fulfilled. Let's pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be here in this church and to preach to these people, Lord. Thank you so much for their faithfulness. Thank you for their love for you. Lord, thank you for what they are doing for worldwide missions. I am grateful and honored, Lord, to have been a part of this conference. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to serve you, Lord, to giving us the task of preaching the gospel. Lord, we fail many times at this, Lord, but help us to rededicate ourselves to preaching the gospel, to sharing your word with lost souls that are all around us, Lord, and who maybe will have the last opportunity to ever hear the gospel from us. So I ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord. Give us courage, give us boldness so that we may preach, Lord. And I thank you once again. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. I'll read that verse one last time. Well, I'll start with verse 13. We often quote that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We say, amen. But how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? There are lots of folks right here around us. Our neighbors, we could probably reach out and touch them. Grocery store that we see, we might be friendly, we might be nice, we might even hand them gospel tracts, and we need to do those things. We might invite them to church, but they still may have never heard from our lips the gospel, the simple gospel. And that may be the next step that God would have us take. Maybe for some, it's to begin passing out gospel tracts. I hope we'll do that. We have a whole rack out here in the back foyer. Start doing that. Take that first step. However, it could be that God wants us to do a little more than that. And it could be that God's been tugging on some of your hearts, young or old, about the mission field, about ministry. Maybe you've kept that, you haven't stepped out, haven't told anybody. But if you believe that God is working in your heart, you believe you have the call, would you please let me know, my wife know, let us know that. We'll not spread that out there. We'll pray along with you. And don't bury it. Don't keep it hidden. Don't assume it's just, it's missions conference, so of course everybody's going to think that way. It's the Lord, perhaps. And so you share it with us. If we can be a help and a blessing, we'd love to do that. Appreciate that message. Appreciate, again, all of our missionaries. Missions conference may be over on the calendar, but let's not it be over, all right? We're going to be around people all the time. Let's do our part. Let's share the gospel. Well, let's put feet to the missions conference. Let's get out there. Let's be seeking souls. Let's be intentional about seeing them outside, going to them, praying about the opportunity, running like Philip did when the Lord said, go over there, and in faith, trust the Lord. I'm looking forward to seeing visitors here, but I'm looking forward to hearing good testimonies of what God is doing in our lives as we share, get the courage to obey the Lord. All right. A couple quick announcements before we dismiss. There are some leftovers. So when you leave, most of you go out this main entrance over here. There are some leftovers in the cart. And so even if you already got some extras with you there and took a to-go box, there are plenty of leftovers there. Please feel free to grab those on the cart as you leave. There are some crock pots, I think, still downstairs. So if you brought something and maybe you say, I got to make sure I get everything I brought, please take a look downstairs. Obviously, it'll still be there if you forget, or maybe those folks left there. We'll try to get them out for the next service, all right? We did have a lot of garbage bags from this week, and so we have no problem to putting them out, but we'll just say this. If you say, hey, I've got plenty of room, we don't use that much, I've got a thing, you're welcome to grab one or two and take them with you there if you'd like, all right? And then finally, just before we dismiss, please remember, don't forget to pray for Brother Don Kilmer and his wife flying out tomorrow out of Newark to South Africa. As he mentioned, it's usually a long flight. So typically the first flight's 8 hours, the second flight is 18 hours. So a lot of flying there. Remember the Kilmers tomorrow. And then some of you just saw maybe the recent prayer request that came through, even during lunchtime, if you have it on your phone there. The missionaries, the Crocketts that we support. And I didn't get a chance to read it exhaustively. It looked like it was one of their sons was having a little bit of an episode there. They were near the doctor's office there on their way home from church. And so if you're not part of the prayer chain, didn't see that, you could probably check with several folks in here. They could read that to you so you can pray a little bit more for the Crockett family. All right, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to dismiss in prayer. It's been a great week. It's over as far as the missions conference on the calendar, and we're grateful for each of you who have come, each of you who has played a part. We know there's folks watching that would love to be here, but perhaps because of health issues and just where they're at, not able to be here, and they wish they were, but we're glad that they could participate and watch online. And again, most of our missionaries are going to be heading out here, not right away, but they need to get on the road. And so if you've not had one final chance to thank them or to let them know or to grab a prayer card, make sure you do that, because they're going to be hitting the road. They have some places to go and hours on the road, all right? So remember each one of those. Again, thank you for all who have played a part in Missions Conference. Hope you have a restful afternoon, maybe. Again, no service tonight, and so perhaps you can relax a little bit more, get a little rest before you head into the rest of the week, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that's been accomplished this week at Missions Conference. Lord, it is a busy week. It is taxing. But we're thankful that we can find our strength and joy from you. Lord, I know that you're honored when we're here, when we keep missions at the forefront. Lord, that's your great love, and so, Lord, I know that you can give us that strength we need. You can give us the extra rest. You can give us the clear mind for school or the job. You can provide the finances, Lord, because of the gas that's been used each day we come. Lord, we're trusting you. We walk by faith. We believe that when we seek you first, as the Bible says, Lord, and put your kingdom first, that, Lord, you'll take care of all of our needs, for you are a gracious Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray your blessing on each of our missionaries that are traveling this afternoon. Tomorrow, Brother Kilmers, he flies home, him and his wife, South Africa tomorrow. Give safety and protection. Lord, for our missionaries, the Crocketts, Lord, with their son that's just had a little bit of a health emergency issue. Lord, I pray that that could be stabilized. I pray that things would be okay if it be your will. And I pray that you'd encourage him in the Lord just to trust you. And Lord, we look forward to hearing how that was resolved. Lord, give folks a safe afternoon home. May we just rest in the Lord on this Sunday. Perhaps tonight before we go to bed, we get the family together and we pray for our missionaries. We review maybe some of the lessons that were learned. We pray as a family for Lord, souls to win, a neighbor that you've laid on our heart, a coworker, a teacher at school tomorrow. Lord, may we do our part to seek and to save that which was lost. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel that we've received that's changed our lives. Now, Lord, may we pass that on to others who've never heard. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.